Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 9th on the West Coast, or in the Eastern and Central time zones. It is now March the 10th in other parts around the world. Quick note, I'd like to bring your attention to the fact that there's a new YouTube video that came out, which is about 2 years, really it's 10 years too late, but let's say 2 years too late on the basis of the subject that all of a sudden has been breached by the man. The public now for a number of years, 2.5 years at least, about the danger of chemtrails, and yet at the same time we have this story that comes out, and they're actually alluding to Morgellons disease. Okay, now I don't know if you heard everything I said, because I'm getting messages that
it was a small cutout, but I got most of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It had to be on their end.
Okay.
I'm guessing. I'm putting out sound here, and I'm hearing it, so.
Okay.
Anyway, that was my guest in the background. We're going to talk for a moment about a bunch of things, but we are going to do a health show tonight with tonight's guest. He is an author and a researcher extraordinaire. Actually, he's both an author and a researcher extraordinaire. He is also an osteopathic specialist, and he has written several books in line with what we're going to be talking about tonight. The Cure is in the Cupboard, How to Eat Right and Live Longer are just a few of his books. He's my good friend, Dr. Kasim Khalil. Dr. K, welcome to the
hey,
show.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to be back. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's great.
I got a message. I got a message. 10 seconds were missing, and I couldn't guess which 10 seconds that
meant. I got most of it, but it just actually wanted to bring one thing up about the danger that is facing the people as far as health goes. It's not just the old-fashioned high blood pressure and heart disease, diabetes, you know, high sugar diet, arteriosclerosis, cancer these days. There's a lot more going on these days. Like you said, the spreading of poison in the air, such syndromes as Morgellons and chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, various neurological conditions. There's no question that the people are under siege. They don't even know where to turn. So perhaps maybe through this show they can get some information that can help them.
I find it quite ironic that all the public health officials, fire departments, police departments, sheriff's departments across the country, even state highway patrolmen, deny that chemtrails exist, and yet now the CDC, who has been denying it as well, has come out and said, well, they have to investigate this disease now, as people are pulling synthetic strings from their bloodstream through the source.
And quite frankly, the data is compelling on Morgellons, which I think is an unfortunate name because it's not truly Morgellons, but it's a syndrome that sort of affects the organs, the skin, and much more. This unknown syndrome, as far as what we should really call it, has been traced to nanotechnology molecules.
I agree.
You know, and there's some good data to show that it's connected to genetically engineered food, where they use some bizarre micromolecular technology that can reduplicate itself. Mm-hmm. The latest data is the, you know, the Fusarium bacteria. Not Fusarium, it's, I'm trying to think of the name of the bacteria. Agrobacteria. It's actually Agrobacterium. It is a tumor, causing, it's tumefaciens. It's a tumor causing bacteria of plants that causes galls.
Mm-hmm.
And galls are tough. And galls are fibrous.
Yes.
So that, yeah, that bacteria is in the, in people's bodies from eating genetically engineered corn, soy, cottonseed, genetically engineered squash, potatoes, papayas, the different things that are genetically engineered. It's used as a vector. And that's a fiber producing bacteria. So, there is pretty good evidence, and they're finding the genes to this bacteria in these lesions.
Mm-hmm. This is,
and so we've got to take a serious look at that, as well as these chemical toxins in the air, as a problem here. You know?
Yes. Now, Dr. K, you were on a show some weeks ago. Actually, it was toward the right before the inauguration. We did a show together with Michael Anthony. And that night, I had actually planned on just discussing health issues, but we had this false flag event that we were dealing with on the show.
Yes.
And but you remember Michael, I'm sure. Michael
oh, yes.
has, yeah. Michael's developed an herb formula that one of his let's say customers was using. She came down with a very, very severe case of these sores that were breaking open, and she was pulling different colored string through the openings.
Mm-hmm.
She was a nurse, and he suggested that she try to get a sample on a slide so that she could look at it under a microscope, and what she described were little larvae that were growing. In fact, it was related to a fly that's found in Africa and South America.
Is that the bow fly?
I don't know the name of it, but it's a little tiny white fly. Now, I have to tell you, after some serious chemtrail spraying in my area and some other areas, I've seen these flies in the grass in one's yard. And a mixture of soap and water and ammonia actually kills it. You can put that in a sprayer and just water your lawn with this and let it sit out in the sun, and it will kill them. They just completely disappeared, and
okay.
no problems with that. But I can tell you that these substances are part of what they're finding in the chemtrails. I've been alerting people to this personally for 2.5 years.
Well, there have been there have been some people that have found red blood cells, white blood cells, human tissue.
That's correct.
That has descended down. And we do know that there's a conspiracy to make money by disposing of waste in the air, that the airlines may well be involved in. There have been some people threatened that have accidentally stumbled upon the dispenser nozzles in commercial airlines.
Mm-hmm. The airline mechanics, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there have been quite a few respectable reports from highly credible individuals that, and we know that there's almost a mafia-esque type behavior about the dispensing of waste, how waste is taken to Canada and secretly dumped. And you know all these conspiracies that occurred out in the East Coast when that whole area was contaminated.
Yes.
Yeah. By the disposal of poisonous chemicals in drums, as you know, Love Canal.
Mm-hmm.
So they do it. People think it's a conspiracy theory. It's just not that. It's the criminal chemical cartel already committing a crime by making the chemicals, and then they've got to deal with disposing it.
Yes.
At the people's expense.
Now, there are some ways that people can fight this on their own. Of course, here you've got these official government agencies that are just now making statements like, well, we're going to look into this. Yeah, this is getting serious. when they denied it was even occurring all along. They were blaming it on Lyme's disease.
Mm.
And of course, there was quite a bit of research going on, I know, 2.5 years ago at the University of Oklahoma. And I had spoken to one of the researchers there who ended up actually quitting the job.
All right, okay.
So they were acknowledging that the disease was affecting people. In fact, there were so many people in Texas coming down with this disease that there were 14-hour waiting lines to get into the emergency room. And, of course, mm-hmm. no one was really getting any proper diagnosis or proper treatment.
Right. Right.
Okay. I had alerted this fact to Dr. Bill Deagle, who has been studying this for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I told him it was my intuitive impression that it was caused by what they were putting in chemtrails. I had no proof of that, but some 2 or 3 months later he did come out and agree with me. The toxins that they're putting in, anthrax and tuberculosis and, oh, you know, it's,
well,
and the
polymer.
Well,
there have been some interesting reports of the dissolution or dispensation of human medical waste through the dilutional act, so-called, of spraying it in the air. There have been reports of that being done in public water. It's done automatically in some hospitals, and nuclear waste, of course, from nuclear isotopes that are used in imaging. A lot of that gets into the public systems. And so you have the issue of water contamination, you have the issue of air contamination. And then again, now we have this third loose cannon on deck, and that's these genetically engineered foods where they're using fiber bacteria. The Agrobacterium is a fiber-producing bacteria, tumor-facious. In other words, it's going to produce tumorous mass.
Mm-hmm.
And the genes of this bacteria have been found in some of the Morgellons-like lesions. So you have it's most likely a combination of all of this pollution. And that's why no one can pin down Morgellons as one thing. The people in Texas had a certain syndrome, people in Southern California, a different one. I know that when I was in England eating only organic food from farms, where there, you know how England is non-GMO
mm-hmm.
more than anywhere, and how
yes.
even Prince Charles, of course, was diametrically opposed to Monsanto, whatever you want to call him. And I landed in the United States, and so that goes along with something in the air, doesn't it, as well as anything else. Immediately, it seemed that I developed this violent itch in my lower lip, and I used oil of oregano to destroy that, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the air component, which you've been talking to the MD down there with, I guess. You've got the food component. You've got the water component. They're all playing a role.
Yes. Now, Dr. Bill Deagle actually did quite a lot of work for government agencies. He was treating a lot of the soldiers for symptoms of Agent Orange in Oklahoma City, right there, you know, where the Murrah building was taken down.
Mm-hmm.
And he claimed that the records, those medical records, were stored there as well. And then he was in Denver. He'd actually been an insider as to what's going on with the underground bases. He was in Nova Scotia for a while, and now I understand he's in the Southern California area and
okay.
has been speaking out quite a bit. He's a okay. microbiologist. He's got so many accreditations, you would think.
He's well known, yeah.
He's very, very well known.
Has he done anything on culturing the matter that falls out of the sky when these acts are committed? Does he have any data that's new based on his research that he has shared with you?
Yeah, if he does, I haven't heard about it recently. He was on the show a while back, and he was confirming all the other studies. Now, Clifford Carnicom, who has a website, Clifford, or actually I think it's called Carnicom.com.
Yeah.
Has a whole spread of research, and he's been
the one that's on blood, human blood matter.
Well,
pieces of red corpuscles, you see.
Actually, it's desiccated blood that they're putting in it.
Oh, he's found it desiccated. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
That's the dried blood.
Yeah. In June of 2006, May or June of 2006, there was a family in Iowa that went to bed one night. In the morning, they all woke up violently ill. When they went outside, the whole house was covered with it's very much like spider webs. When it drops into the atmosphere, the lower atmosphere, it was hanging from the trees. It was all over their car. They got plastered.
Wow.
And they all came down with it overnight.
They could become pretty chronically ill.
Yes.
This is a dangerous time because these criminal cabals are making money to dispose of waste matter. And you don't know if somebody has AIDS or cancer or whatever this stuff is. And the stuff dries and you inhale it, you can get some kind of miserable disease.
Yeah. Now, the web was formed, I understand, by nanoparticle polymers. Now, polymers have the tendency to absorb moisture, and they can absorb many, many times their size in moisture. They just keep expanding and expanding.
Yeah.
And there were elements like aluminum and barium.
A lot of barium has been picked up, actually.
Yeah, and then there was gold. There were some other substances, 27 different types of compounds, and then there were 6 different pathogens found in that as well.
Yeah, sure.
So,
thing is that they've never denied it. And in fact, those who've witnessed the devices in planes have been threatened with their lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's a number of things that are happening. The water in hospitals and in institutions now is commonly infected with mold fungus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big cause of disease. There's the fluoride issue, which is a carcinogenic, as you well know. There are all the pharmaceutical drugs, of course, in the waterways, so we're being poisoned by that. Then there's the issue of, for instance, the contrails. There's the issue also, again, I reiterate that when you're eating genetically engineered food, that's a very quick way you can poison yourself. You can have shock reaction. You can have choking of the throat. Your throat can get ticklish and feel like it's closing off. You can develop asthma. You can develop eczema lesions, inflammation, and you have no idea that you're poisoning yourself with the food.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there are a lot of people coming down with respiratory problems.
Well, I mean, if it's not like a mold or sinus problem, if it's this chronic asthma, shortness of breath, I want to know what they're eating, to be honest with you, Mr. Nikoloff. I flat out want to know exactly what they eat on a 48-hour basis.
Yeah.
Because when you eat genetically engineered food, it causes such a high histamine level, it could cause you to choke to death.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if any of the people listening have experienced where their throat gets, like, closed off.
Yeah, well, that's definitely an allergic reaction of some sort, I would guess.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Definitely, of course, yes.
Yeah.
So
now,
in addition to the chronic illness that the cantrails cause and the toxic water will induce, that the people have no astuteness on really reading labels and knowing what to avoid so they don't develop allergic diseases.
Mm-hmm.
It's not difficult. There's only a few things in the American food supply that are systemically poisonous.
Yes. Now, some of these preservatives that they're using, one of the biggest culprits is monosodium glutamate.
Mm.
And then people that are let's say, hoodwinked into this thing that they've got to be using artificial sweeteners as a method of weight loss, and they're consuming aspartame, which is known to be created or have been created as rat poison. So
yeah.
it's attacking their neurological system.
Sure.
At the same time, it's probably, let's say, mingling with all these other toxins.
Right.
Do you want to rattle off some of these, what people should avoid?
Well, yeah, MSG, there was an MSG activist, I understand, who was recently arrested because he was showing a connection between autism and attention deficit and the MSG content. And MSG has been found to actually cause the neurons in the brain to die if you take too much of it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Russell Blaylock has deemed it an excitotoxin, which means that it overwhelms the neurons and overexcites them, not only depleting them, but again, it can kill the neurons, and you can't replace those, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the probably more dominating issue with monosodium glutamate is the sudden reaction syndrome, where a person gets nervous and sweaty and spastic sometimes.
And then dizzy? Yeah.
Yes, they can get dizzy, and they can have seizures, but frequently they'll get this diarrhea and this sort of hot sweatiness and rumbling. And what probably people don't recognize is that if you get really suddenly sick from eating out, the number one factor to consider is MSG. You know, if it's 24 hours later, then it could be a bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you feel unwell within a half hour or an hour after you eat, it could have been MSG on the French fries, it could have been on the chips, it could be on this. It's going to be on any breaded food lining. So many different places.
Yeah.
Salad dressing.
Now, I understand, you know, years ago we went through this, and we've talked about this with other guests on the show from time to time, this issue of butter versus margarine. And it's been found that margarine is like one molecule away from being petroleum.
it's petroleum jelly almost, really.
Yeah.
You know, you'd never eat that, but imagine taking petroleum jelly and coloring it yellow and whipping it until it turns smooth. And that's an indigestible substance,
mm-hmm.
margarine is. I was one of the first to come out against it. The margarine industry was livid when I wrote my book, How to Eat Right and Live Longer. And in there, I test people to see how much margarine or hydrogenated oil overload they get, to see whether or not they're freezing up their cells. Are they basically turning their cells into stiff membranes, which would make them crack and would make them vulnerable to disease like cancer or heart disease, diabetes, arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for years I've tried to get people to pull away from a stick margarine, and some people still hang on to it in all ignorance, but there's been a movement away from it. I would suggest that the most poisonous substance in the American diet is margarine and hydrogenated oil. Perhaps the second most poisonous is nitrates, such as the nitrates you'd find in Canadian bacon or ham or sausage or chipped beef. The third, I would have to place refined sugar is definitely way up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go down the list and knock on MSG and food dye and all that, you know.
Yeah, and the artificial sweetener. I tend to keep that up there because they put it in so many products. And
you know, you might have to put aspartame as tied for number three. It's so heavily poisonous.
Yeah.
And I've talked to people who've gotten the big load of it by having some Starbucks or whatever ice cream artificially sweetened, and they went and had a couple of sodas artificially sweetened, and they developed a physiologic overwhelm, you know, too high of a load, and then they developed multiple sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease or sort of a demented state or hypernervous state. There was some kind of neurological damage that their neurons, you know, they got hit too hard by too much of a dose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they never now, recovered.
Yeah. If I could, I'd like to bring up something. In fact, I heard this on a radio show this evening. This was, you know, when you're in your car and you're listening to mainstream radio, AM yeah. radio, and there's a particular talk show host that, in my mind, is just pushing this agenda, regardless of what you're talking about. If you're talking about 9/11, if you're talking about the economy, this guy is blaming everything on the consumer, you know, on the American public. The government and these big industries can do no wrong. And so he's a gatekeeper, basically. And
he would have to be psyops.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious.
He's got his paycheck coming, whereas the people listening, many of them don't have a job.
Yeah. Or you know, there are people who are riding home in their car.
Well,
they
haven't laid off any spies.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seems to be the,
But he raised the topic on stem cell research. Now, then it's the issue of is a fetus a living organism? You know, does it have a soul? And then he gravitates to, you know, this stem cell research is a good thing, and the government should fund this. And a guy calls up and says, you know, that there's a contradiction here. You know, and he used George Bush as an example. Here's a Christian man who's saying he's against stem cell research because it kills babies. And the guy said, but he's a bit of a hypocrite when he goes over to the Middle East and Afghanistan and bombing millions of people, murdering people so they can make money. He said, don't you? And the guy says, you're not going to bait me into a discussion about that. So I guess when they want to push abortion, when they want to now say, well, abortion's okay because now the government can fund out of thin air all these studies for stem cell research. And I'm not saying it's bad.
He's gonna be pharmaceutical. I mean, it's the industrial the pharmaceutical houses can bill big money for injecting stem cells into a bone marrow or to perhaps inject fetal cells. What they do is they culture those cells and they treat them with so many drugs they're useless.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever benefit they claim, there's going to be more poisonous effects. A lot of the children that have been subjected to stem cell experiments have died outright after they were injected.
Yes.
But the bottom line is that this is big money. You can, maybe one procedure could net you $50,000 or $100 or $60 or $30 in insurance money. So obviously, you know, this is not just a little fiddly-widdly research. This is a way to garner a lot bigger dough than you can with the Gardasil vaccine. They don't want to let up on this.
Yeah.
Because it's a major medical procedure.
Yeah. Well, as I'm listening to that, and I'm listening to this caller who made a very good point, the guy wasn't going to go there. He cut him off. And then he fielded another call where that guy was going to defend the previous caller. And he said, look, let me ask you a question. He said, do you think it's good that the government gives all the cancer research institutes money so that they can find a cure for cancer? Now right there is the lie, you see, because there are people who have cured cancer.
Mm-hmm. Many. Yeah.
Yes. And the cause of it is known, and they're still playing this game that, you know, they have to give people chemotherapy, which is going to kill them anyway. They're going to die of the radiation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another means for them to keep making money.
I understand. And basically, it's just like they said that, oh, it looks like a virus is causing diabetes, which we've been saying for years that infections induce diabetes, which is the whole subject of my book, as you know. Natural mm-hmm. Cures for Diabetes is all about that. In any case, regardless, I'm trying to sell you a book. This is just information. But the bottom line is that I had said for years that we need to clean out those infections. Now, all of a sudden, oh, we've made this discovery, so now we need a vaccine, you know. When you hear, oh, now we need a vaccine, it takes you all the way up to the top of the cabal, and it goes right straight to the Rockefeller Group.
Yeah.
You know?
And
they're
and they,
the ones that always have the vaccine in the back pocket as a supposed cure.
Mm-hmm.
Not with any research, just because they want to get the public to sort of support it. It's a propaganda ploy. Hey, stupid public, you know, look at this. We're going to go around and set up an agency, you know, like the Diabetes Virus Foundation, and you give us money for research, and we'll find the cure. That's what the people do. They give them money. They give the cartel money as if they need any extra money. It's incredible.
Yeah. Now, the substance that you were describing before, and I've had some questions from some people about this. If you would expound a little bit about oregano oil, what it is, and what gives it its properties.
Okay. Well, oregano oil was mentioned in the Bible, and I'm not the expert there, but maybe someone can give us their expertise, where it recommends to purge yourself. And hyssop is the word, but hyssop means aesop. It's really aesop and ezoph, ancient Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
It's just purge. Now, in ancient Greece, now this is oil of oregano, and oil of oregano is the top form that one would want. One could get the crude whole herb, I suppose, but the oil is a distillate, so there's only like 2%, 1.5% weight of oil in, say, 100 pounds. So you might get, you take 100 pounds, you get a pound of oil, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
now that oil is a germicide, just like cinnamon is and clove, but it's mm-hmm. more powerful than those, and it's about 50 times more aggressive than garlic. Yeah? So, mm-hmm. so you've extracted a germicidal substance that that has been used, the ancient Greeks called it the delight of the mountains, therefore oroganos. The people of Rome used it as a medicine more than as a food. The Prophet Muhammad said it would be great for colds and flu. The Jesus Christ said, use hot ointments. I love hot ointments, and he loved to have them applied. Those were based on oregano back in those days and other similars. So now, but then in the medieval times, they used the oregano as oil and as a juice type substance or a hydrosol for flu, for colds, bronchitis, earaches, sinusitis, chest congestion, asthma, and for tuberculosis. They made mention that it obliterates TB if used apparently in the juice or hydrosol form as well as the oil. Now, in the turn of the century, it was Cavell at the Pasteur Institute who categorically stated that oregano as well as clove will kill any bacteria. He was able to sterilize sewage water. He actually took sewage water from a septic tub, from regular sewage water. He then inoculated that with beef broth, which made it grow like crazy. He then put in different spice oils to see which ones would obliterate all the pathogens, would kill everything in the sewage water. And oregano killed everything in the sewage water in a 1 in 1,000 dilution, which is 0.1%.
Mm-hmm.
It was then C.W. Martindale who said that of everything and everything, I think this was about 1910 actually, oregano's the king. Oregano oil is the best. Nothing can beat it. So that's how it kind of, and that evolved into modern research, which I've published a half a dozen studies on oil of oregano and
mm-hmm.
similars. It's very effective in wiping out these germs.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about people getting suffocated by material in the airs, chemtrails, or who develop a poisoned reaction to water, food, then this would reverse that. Yeah.
Yes. Now, you're talking about a massive amount of plant to produce this small quantity, but you're
sure
also talking about a very effective product.
Well, I'm not trying to cure anything on the radio. This is information.
Well, the radio's fine. The radio's fine. It doesn't need any curing.
Oh, it doesn't? It does sound fine. There was a woman, a talk show host's wife. She had E. coli. They couldn't do anything for her. She had bloody diarrhea. They sent her home. He is a very famous nutritionist. He gave her 2 drops of oil of oregano. She takes it under her tongue. Not the full strength type, but the kind that's already in its own olive oil. You know, I'm not a big fan of people buying just pure mint oil or pure oregano oil or pure sage oil and start drinking it. No. I only use olive oil, you know, when it's in the olive oil base.
Okay. Yeah.
So she takes 2 drops. It eliminated her E. coli diarrhea. She went back for medical checking. It was finished. So, I mean, obviously, if you extract out all of that essence from 1,000 pounds of oregano, it's so powerful. And if it can sterilize sewage water, your colon's like a septic pool, right? It doesn't. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that this could be helpful to you. It depends on the crisis. Well, in any crisis, we know that it's an antidote for poison, like a brown recluse spider or a bee sting or some sort of... There was a woman who emailed me from the Middle East. She was stung when working in the garden. Her leg swelled up like a balloon. She started taking oil of oregano and a multiple spice extract that's made from oregano, cumin, sage, and cinnamon in a capsule. These are the 2 things she took. And then I advised her just to wrap some cotton saturated with the oil on the injection site, on the site of the attack. And this massive swelling was knocked out. I just got an email from her. Knocked it. Now, it took time because it was a venomous attack. But all the emergency was taken out by this stuff.
Yeah,
that's
well, you're talking...
We want to get rid of the emergency, at least.
Yeah, so you're talking about a spider bite or the
type
of...
We don't know because it was in the Middle East and it could have been anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just referring to, like, when you said, like, a brown recluse, for example. You know, that's a spider that...
Oh, yes, I've treated several cases over the years.
Yeah, it's about 1/4 of an inch in size, and they're basically not aggressive. They hide. They'll hide in curtains or someplace where, you know, you leave them alone. Well, you go and grab the curtain rod or the cord to open the curtain, and often that's how people are bitten. Very unsuspectingly.
Yeah.
And it's not a small issue when...
Oh, now they can lose some tissue.
Yeah.
But now we've taken those cases that are active and saturated those lesions with the oil and had them take it under the tongue, and this destroys the whole problem. It's an anti-venom. You know, the ancient Greeks used it for snake bites, after all. That's why the Creator made it so prolific in that area. They have other kind of scorpions and snakes and asps and wasps and bees.
I've heard it's even reversed the effects of hemlock poisoning. Is that true?
Yes. They used it back in ancient Greece. If you took a good enough dose, you could halt the death if you caught it early enough. Well, I've had many a case of people poisoned by what we don't know, but certainly by bacteria or bacterial toxins. The toxins that bacteria produce can cause flesh-eating bacteria, for instance. They can cause a sudden shock, kidney failure, swelling, and anaphylaxis, which means, you know, the throat choking off. And we have seen over the years, there's no question about it, that the timely use, and I have done this with bee stings, I've treated many bee stings, the timely use of the oil of wild oregano eliminates the danger. So it's something we should be taking with us. I can warn the people, at least, now I don't want to get into brand names and all that. This has been an informational shows that we're doing. But I do warn you, you're going to buy this, don't buy the garbage. Make sure that you get the very, very best, and just stay away from these low-level brands. I've seen some of the stuff that's come on the market, silly, just the greed, oh, oregano is a hot thing, is just unfit for your use.
Yes, they have a tendency when there's something that comes out, let's say, like in a soluble form, you'll see it in the stores with in a very hard type of pill or capsule. Usually it's a
pill. I don't like those pressed pills. I'll tell you what, to be honest with you. They have mountains at the sewage plants of pressed pills. I don't think we should be taking pressed pills. I see a number of, you know, companies that are out there that make these pressed pills, and really we shouldn't be taking them. A company that's worth its salt is going to use capsules. They're going to just grind it up, stick it in a capsule because it's so well absorbed. They're not going to use shellacs and do these hard heat intensive pressings,
mm-hmm,
with all these synthetic vitamins and coatings and dicalcium phosphate and, you know, 101,000 ingredients in one pill. I mean, forget it.
Yeah. Well, in the olden days, I can remember the apothecaries that used to actually use a mortar and pestle and grind certain medicines up and make a fine powder that would break down much easier.
That's right.
They knew something back then.
That digestive tract can't handle too much. And so really, if we had liquid extracts, non-alcoholic, that would be all right. Drops that we can take in an olive oil base. Certainly the essences that you can drink. And finally, capsules.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are digestible.
Yeah. Now the amounts that one needs to take is, of course, going to depend upon whatever.
Well, if you want to immunize yourself, you could just take two drops of oil of wild oregano and put it under the tongue, or put it in juice or water. If you're in an area where you're really exposed, you're working in a hospital, a nursing home, then maybe five drops twice a day as a barrier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or if you're working construction outside while they're chemtrailing the skies, you know.
Yeah, and the dust and everything else that you're working on, all of those things you can take a few drops twice a day. There's also the whole crude herb, which if a company's worth its salt, they'll mix it with Rus coriorea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fantastic whole food supplement if you can find that in the health stores or wherever. And that I take about 3 to 4 capsules a day to keep my digestive tract in order. This is sort of a raw wild oregano capsule ground up,
mm-hmm,
with a wonderful, interesting herb that grows in the Mediterranean, Rus coriorea, which has a deep red color and is high in tannic acid and gallic acid, and those are really very, very good for toning the gut, the stomach, the small intestines. I'm very big on taking things that give the intestinal tract a solid tone, and anybody that knows me, who's seen me, knows that I have a very good tone, and I can attribute that in part to the exercises and such, but also to using the wild oregano oil and the whole crude herb.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suspect some people are listening now that are used to us delving into 911, which we promised we need to do. But, you know, people can't do anything in life if they're sick all the time.
Yeah.
And so you may have not heard us talking about these things before. But I do take oil of wild oregano and the crude whole herb on a daily basis, if you want to know. Yeah.
Yes, I take it too.
Yeah, you know, and then the other thing is that could be found in a health food store, I would suspect. That they could sort of harass the store owner, as I say, to make sure they get the right quality, and that they can walk away with, if they so wish, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told you I'm not here. The whole purpose of these shows is to enlighten and educate and uplift the people to a higher level of awareness on the hope and prayer that we can make this earth a better place and stand in the way of the terrible evil that has overcome the American people and the people all over the earth. But I can tell you this, I can do 1,000,000% more because I feel good. You see?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And, you know, what comes to mind is we get people awake and aware of this issue of water fluoridation, you know, where they say, well, it's good for the teeth and it fights cavities, which is totally a farce. It's untrue. You know, that's how they get rid of the waste products
of the
aluminum manufacturing industry.
It's terrible. So, everybody knows this now.
Yeah.
It's the
people,
most vile, wicked poison in the world, is fluoride is.
Yes.
Deadly.
So they go into bottled water, and then you have these companies out there. Some of the major manufacturers, the soft drink manufacturers, went into the bottled water industry and were putting tap water in the bottle.
Almost all of them do it. The only thing is Gerolsteiner and San Pellegrino, Apollinaris. Oh, my God. Some of the Iceland people are good, but just an absolute nightmare. Just and vile. Just, it's, and paying all that money for filtered tap water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
Yeah. So your counsel is well taken when you say make sure, you know something about the product.
Water?
Oh, well, I'm referring to oil of oregano, actually.
Oil of oregano is not all oil of oregano. Some of it's now made from marjoram. There's a Spanish type that's highly poisonous that's not oregano. There's a Mexican type that's just not fit for human consumption, not because it's from Mexico, but because of the fact that the Mexican species is sage that smells like oregano,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not fit for being made into an oil. It's poisonous that way. So you need the true wild oregano from the mountains of the Mediterranean, and we really shouldn't be taking anything else. It should be made from the same material that the spice is used, you know, is made from, the true spice. And unless it comes from the regions of the biblical lore, which would be, we can say, the Palestine region, the Syria region, the Turkish region, Greece to a degree, then it shouldn't be used, you know. So all of these Moroccan oreganos or Spanish or Mexican, Saskatchewan grade, made in Israel, made in California. All of these, some of these are even genetically engineered.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely not to be used. In fact, I found a letter the other day that had been sent to me about 10 years ago from the University of Massachusetts, which was addressed to me, Dr. Ingram. We need your help to market our genetically engineered oregano. You know, you're the marketing person. You're known as, because my name, as you know, Dr. Khalil comes originally from Arabic, but the name that I was given when they came off the boat was corrupted because my middle name is Khalil. My last name, Ajram, got changed to Igram, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, now, my nutrition books are all under that name. And they contacted me because, hey, you're the only one that can convince the public of this. You know, you help us sell this genetically engineered oregano and we'll make you rich. So I'm not even going to respond to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this. And here's what they said, the university, I think it was Massachusetts. They said that they're going to splice, or they have been splicing, Pseudomonas into the oregano to standardize it. I mean, oregano, you take it to kill bacteria. You don't want some stupid bacteria genetically engineered into your oregano.
That's incredible.
It is.
Yet it's highly believable. Why doesn't it surprise me, I guess?
Well, you know, it's just, that's why I write about nutrition. When I see that the people can benefit, but their lives are lost prematurely, or they have some illness that they develop unnecessarily. So, yeah, I write some pretty brave stuff in those nutrition books. And
It would be interesting to see what it'll do to an RFID chip. I reported on the show.
Oregano is a solvent. I would, if they injected one in my arm, I'd just take the super strength and I'd try to soak that thing out, but I don't know what it'd do. I would imagine the thing would eventually pop out, you know.
Yeah.
Those are carcinogenic, you know that, those chips.
Yes. I did an alert on Friday night show. I had the misfortune, I guess, to speak to someone who was in a hospital in West Virginia and overheard the doctors talking about the fact that the chips had arrived that day and they were going to start putting them in people. And this particular person happened to be familiar with the whole issue and flat out said, "I'm not getting one of those chips." Now, this was heard down the hallway from the room that the patient was waiting over an hour for the doctor to return, and the patient became impatient,
mm-hmm.
which is intended that way, and overheard the conversation down the hall, scurried back to the room when the doctor came in. The patient said, "I'm not getting an RFID chip," and the doctor said, "Oh, you don't have to get one today," in that tone. "We're not going to give you one today.
Eventually we'll impose one." All right, well, this is all designed by King Rockefeller. He's the one that everybody has to basically attack and go after. I mean, you know, if you're angry about it, he's the kingpin that has perpetrated this. So any, you know, sort of political or social or financial retribution has to be aimed at that dude.
Or and even whatever, spiritual.
Huh?
Even spiritual.
And more importantly, like you said. And that's, you know, it's not easy to do because he has his hand in everything. But the spiritual we can do. We can put up a big spiritual force. But again, I will not take one of those things. So join the group of people who will fight with their lives before allowing anybody to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What can they do if they have to kill us all? And that's going to be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, they're going to be stuck with a lot of unusable chips, you know?
That's right. And no serfs to do their bidding, or so-called, as they claim. Well, I won't admit to such a thing. But
yeah. And
very sad state of affairs that they start with the incompetent and incapable, weak and destabilized comatose and start chipping the comatose. That figures that they would go into the hospitals first.
Yeah.
Give enough people out there bragging rights, "See my chip," you know.
It's enough of that,
you know, criminal cabal. We've had enough of it.
Yes, it's a sad state of affairs. Now, I did promise the listening audience that we would chat a little bit about some of our recent findings. I have to give a special shout-out to Dr. Christopher Holmes, who was kind enough to invite me onto his show this weekend, and to David Hawkins. We had a bit of a discourse what occurred on 9/11, and we talked about these plane crashes and the plot to collect insurance.
So which plane crashes?
Well, all of them, actually.
Which ones? You mean over the years or something, or?
Well, yeah, over the years, we talked about 9/11. You know, You know, to some extent, David Hawkins and Field McConnell have been doing forensic research on the financial shenanigans associated with these plane crashes. And of course, they destroyed all the financial records.
What plane crashes? Are they talking about plane crashes on 911?
Oh yes. Yes, 9/11.
What plane crashes occurred on 911 though?
Well, they're talking about the missing people. They're not saying that those planes loaded with people hit the buildings.
They're talking more about that somebody could have been killed somehow or something or disappear or
even the people in the buildings
people. Yeah, I'm sure they're talking about that. Well, I just want to make it clear to the audience that our latest information shows that, and I think they already know that there weren't any planes. That's what the latest shows. So if they're finding, you know, insurance fraud, it's either people that are alive that faked their deaths, which is kind of interesting. That's a serious fraud, as you know.
Yes.
Like you say, the people in the buildings that they presumed would die based on where the explosions were going to occur. There's a lot of stuff to that, you know.
Yes.
But I guess we're running out of time, as they say, huh?
And we have Bob from Colorado on the line.
Bob wants to... Our friend Bob has made it. He's really made it this time. But it's not so late in your world, is it, Bob? How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I'm a night owl, actually.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a question or comment, Bob?
Well, the reason I'm calling in is the chemtrail thing. I've been noticing these things for 20 years now. And I live in the mountains of Colorado, and these jets, generally you see them at 30, 40,000 feet. From time to time here, a lot of these jets are military jets, and I think these young lieutenants get bored, but we see them flying, 1,000 feet above the ground over the mountaintops spraying. I mean, you can see the pilots in the plane. You can't really see them smiling at you, but, I mean, and you see them spraying. This is not...
Is there any way you can take some Petri dishes or anything and, I mean, the ideal thing would be if you've got that kind of activity, if some of that material could be collected. I don't know who and how they do it.
Well, what happens with that is people around here have tried that, and they've taken the stuff to labs, and the labs say, what is it? And you tell them what it is, and they tell you, well, we're sorry. Or if you have somebody at the counter who takes your sample, and then they write down on the report what it is that they want you to test, your samples will inevitably be lost, is what
happens.
And it's not medical waste, because if I were a crook and wanted to get rid of medical waste, I'd build a furnace out in the Mojave Desert and just spray it in there and vaporize it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Burn it. What does it cost to fly one of these jets an hour? $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 an hour to keep one of these jets flying?
Lots.
So what it is we're like the bugs that are in their orchard that they're just killing. I think it's a big eugenics program is what I think.
Well, it could be. Now, there have been some reports, I don't know how you substantiate it, that this is being done at a very high level, and that if you stumble upon that information and you want to report it, you'll get killed. So,
well,
and we know that a number of microbiologists have been murdered. Remember the guy on the bridge? As you heard the report, I don't remember the man's name.
There's been over 100 of them so far.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know for sure that recently, and it has been confirmed by the Eastern European nations, that Baxter apparently had H5N1 or a similar bird flu virus inside vaccines for human use.
Uh-huh.
And these Eastern European nations reported that they believe they were trying to begin a flu epidemic to make business. That happened this year.
Uh-huh.
So, but that would be the way to do it, is somebody somewhere could find some sympathetic person who could find out what they're spraying. I still haven't seen any definitive information on it.
Well, you can go on YouTube and you can search chemtrails, and you can actually see photographs inside these commercial airliners that all the seats have been removed, and they're lined with rows of these tanks that look like beer kegs, that are all connected with hoses going out to the wings on sprayers. The knowledge is out. Everybody knows it's out there. The TV news or the newspapers or nobody will admit it, but we all know we're being sprayed. In the mountain community where I live, on some days they'll spray, and everybody will be like they're on Xanax or Vicodin or something. Everybody's groggy. Everybody's got a headache or a hangover. Mm-hmm. And then other days they'll fly over and spray, and it will be like everybody's got cotton mouth or you get dry eyes where you can't hardly see. And there's different formulas spraying. The sprays look different on different days.
Well, you bring up a very good point. In Winnipeg, they sprayed a substance that was supposed to act as a delivery agent for bioweapons. A lot of people got sick. Some people apparently had developed almost, you know, cancerous changes. In San Francisco, they used, as you know, naval ships to shoot a pink bacteria known as Serratia Martians. And Serratia was sprayed because it's reddish pink in color, so they could see where it went. And there were eight people who were very severely sick, and then two dropped dead that they know of.
Wow.
Proven to be killed by Serratia. So that was back in the 50s and 60s.
Funny thing you mentioned that this winter, we get plenty of snow here, but this winter one of our snows was just the faintest pink.
It was.
Yes.
Well, that's that bacteria is used. That's kind of a confirmation, potentially, that you guys are being experimented on with some kind of a bioweapon. That's a possibility.
I don't think they like me very much in particular.
Now, you know, it's funny, Dr. K, you mentioned that. I'm seeing a residual pink mold in places, not necessarily in my home, but I've been to places where I've seen this, like in bathroom sinks or in restroom sinks, where the water has dried and there's sort of it like a pink mold where normally you might...
That's probably a bacteria. There are a number of bacteria. It could be mold, but there are a number of bacteria that exude a pinkish color. Now, Serratia has become a epidemic in hospitals, but only since they sprayed it, since the U.S. military sprayed it in the 60s and so. So we know that they did it then. We know that there's a more vigorous effort to attack the people now than there was then. And we know that, and I think that you're right, the most logical thing is various experimental delivery agents and bioweapons in the form of pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
But don't forget that there have been some reports of bizarre things, that barium, of course, which is a nuclear waste residue, we just don't know enough about it, except the fact that the military has done this in the past. That much we know.
Well, we've got tons of photographs and video of it, too.
Well, the real way to prove the criminal is to get the material analyzed. Then you can trace it back to where it was made. Then you can find out who financed it. You know, we keep talking about the chemtrails. We've got to do something about it, and that's what you have to do. People have to work together to get this stuff analyzed. And you're right, most of the labs will block it, but there's you know as well as I do that somebody in this country can check this stuff out.
Yeah. Somebody's making it,
somebody's
mixing it, somebody's putting it in those containers, and much like they can let a news item slip out.
Somebody's installing it on the nozzle, and
yeah.
I mean, people, you have to come forward and tell us, because we already know that the U.S. government has killed its own people with sprays.
Well, one more thing,
we know what happened in the subway. How's that?
One more thing I could add is the pink snow. When I was a kid, I'm a child of the 50s, but we went into the local grade school and we all stood in line in hushed tones and we took the little sugar cube with the pink.
Oh, thank
polio.
Thank God you're still alive, Bob. Did you have that thing?
Well, I know. Yeah, I had one of those. Everybody that I grew
up with. You've got the verge of cancer. Those of you that got the miserable, yes, in the 50s.
The little pink drop in the little sugar cube, that's
yeah,
what the
you got monkey
like
virus,
here.
Man.
Yeah, I
anybody
know, I
that,
know.
You got to do that oil of oregano. You just have to do it regularly to protect
but what
yourself.
I'm telling you is that's what the snow looked like, that pink drop in that sugar cube for
well,
miles.
That,
miles
that,
of it.
I don't know that that is related because, you know, they did use dyes back then. Those what was in those cubes was a virus, and the virus in that case didn't have a color. That virus is from the monkeys' kidneys and testicles of the experimental monkeys, and it's a terrible carcinogen. Vile, vile.
Similar to where we got AIDS from, correct?
Yes, exactly right. When the, in Africa, when they you know, used reused needles and they were using experimental vaccines of very poor quality, they started the death of Africa. I mean, it was intentional. And just like
wow.
It was intentional to make America weak and feeble. You know? And you know, MD Anderson has confirmed what I've been saying. They went back to their files, apparently, because we were talking so much about this. And they looked at all the lymphoma slides. You know how they keep the deep frozen slides of tissues, section of tissue from a patient's lymph node. And they found that 6 out of 10 lymphoma cases is from the polio shot, from the monkey virus. Yeah? This is worse than chemtrails. The worst is to inject it. The second worst is the inhalation route. And the third is by mouth, as far
one
as...
One more thing that I'll say, and then I'll get off the air and let you guys finish this. I've heard that that SV40 virus, you know how everything that we consume goes into the septic system and then into the groundwater?
Yeah.
I've heard of samples being found of that SV40 in groundwater now.
Oh, my God. Boy, what a revelation that is. And it makes so much sense. That's the SV40 we were just talking about.
Yeah.
That is a big deal. You know, Italian investigators found out that one of two men have SV40 in the sperm. So that means one out of two kids that we sire are going to have it. And, you know, 30% of the women have it floating around in their blood. Yep.
Amazing.
So that's why I myself, believe me, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. I do take oil of oregano, and I take it everywhere I go, and if something weird happens to me, I go take it. And it always does me right. Yeah.
Well, I'll mention one more thing. I've been on air a long time, but I'll mention one more thing. I'm a veteran, and one thing I do know, that the protocols for biological and chemical weapons, you never release these weapons unless you have the antidote on hand for your own troops. So the elites that are doing this to us, and they've been doing it to us for decades, probably generations, I don't know. I wonder why they never get sick, and I wonder if they have prepared all these concoctions and diseases for us, and yet they get the good vaccination for it ahead of time, and then they go ahead and release it into the population.
Yeah.
That's just a theory of mine, and I'll get off and thank you guys. It's been a good show.
Sure.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Bob. Calling
just
in again.
In closing here, Mr. Nikoloff, I did not hear that because there was a cutout on my end.
Same thing happened
something.
Here.
Yeah. But what is done with vaccinations? I don't know who said it, but I know it's stated that by the world jury that the plot that they need to have is to weaken the people. And one tool that they use to weaken them is vaccination. They call it inoculation. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, usually those inoculations are gradually produced in tissue culture, then into animals, and then recycled through the animals repeatedly. That's what they did with the polio vaccine. They kept recycling the polio virus through monkeys.
Now, the test subject is the human. There's never any proof that the material is safe. There's never any good studies done on the American people to prove that it's, you know, not going to cause a fatality or multiple sclerosis or cancer. On the contrary, they just inject the people, and they don't care. Because the objective, I told you, is to destroy the people, to weaken them, to denude them, to make them, to break them, so that they're good, you know, serfs. But then they can't be good serfs because they can't be productive. So anyway, it's
well,
wicked.
we could do a whole show. Now we have another call.
Okay, we'll take a quick call.
One more quick one.
More,
we have
one
David.
More.
David from Washington. David, we have to make it short. Welcome to the show. Don and Dr. K, do you have a question?
Or am I on the line with you right now? I just got
the you're on live
on
Evident Footprints.
I've been taking the oil of oregano and the good stuff from the Mideast for quite a long while. I don't take it all the time, but I do have it in my arsenal.
Good.
It's fantastic stuff. And you can use it in your cooking, too. It's good.
Yes, I use it in the spaghetti sauce. Yeah.
There you go. And about the chemtrails, I've seen them taken off down in Seattle about 10, 11 years ago. I watched a white unmarked airplane take off, fly north. I was in a certain area for a couple of hours. Flew north, I think it took off from Boeing Field, and just over the city where I was in Seattle, they got up there flying very, very slow, maybe 150 knots or something, and all of a sudden, on comes the spray right there.
Wow.
I mean, wasn't the elevation, he was probably, I would guess, not more about 2,500 feet, if that high.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and then an hour or so later, he goes up to the border to Canada, and I think he turned around, came back, and I saw it go up again later. I was there for quite a while.
It's maybe. Just so blitheringly evil.
Yeah, and then one time here where I live on an island, I was out early in the morning and found on the ground, there were two other people there witnessed, a big blob by a building that I went to. It looked like jellyfish.
Hmm.
And there was one big piece I didn't touch it. I poked it with a stick, but we left it lying there for several days. And I sent information over to that. I think it's Will Thomas up on Salt Spring Island who was doing research on chemtrails and writing up articles on it. But I thought that was interesting.
I can tell you that if the people put the People's Army out and collect some of this material and really are able to collect some of the fallen material, you'll see less of this. They've always done this secretly. And as soon as you start proving the case, look, we didn't have, when the Zionists tried to take out the George Washington Bridge, they got caught. When they tried to blow up the Mexican Congress, they got caught. When they were trying to blow up the nuclear plants, Whidbey Bay, Erwin, Tennessee, they got caught. So there were less events. I'm not saying it was perfect. It's the citizens' army.
Yeah, they know they got to be careful. They're being watched.
That's right.
By a lot of people.
There are too many people who are just totally ignorant about the whole issue. This is why we bring this up.
This is why we're in the condition we are. I talked to a guy who's been in the military for 20 years, and he's supposed to be a Mr. Republican, and he picked me up from the airport as a favor. And he started going on and on about President Obama says. I said, what? Who? President Obama. I said, on what basis? He's our elected president. So there's a lot of people dead from the neck up like that.
Oh, God. It's unbelievable. It's appalling. I don't know what, I don't even hardly like to go out any place where there are people around anymore.
I think I'm going to become be a recluse with you for a few days.
I'll tell you, one thing on your on the health issue, there's a website called globallight.net, G-L-O-B-A-L-L-I-G-H-T, Go on there and look at Jim Humble, Miracle Mineral Supplement, or Solution.
Okay.
MMS. I take it. It does work.
I just met those people. Some of those mineral solutions are awful good. Is this the one made from humates or not?
Sodium chlorite. You put a few drops, you mix it with...
That's the sodium chloride people. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's fixed up people.
I think that's good. I myself really prefer the oregano in its various forms because, although I know the chlorides are good, I can get the same kind of results using juice of oregano, oil of oregano, and I don't have to use any chlorinated substance. But I've heard some good things already about this. So it's probably an inexpensive thing to use short term.
Oh yeah, it is very inexpensive. It's hardly even worth talking about how much.
Exactly.
But there's another thing too. Do you use any kind of ozone equipment?
Well, I have used all of that, and I tried everything. You know, I was a dead man about 25 years ago, unable to function, unable to practice medicine from an IV needle stick that overwhelmed my system. I was under a lot of stress going through a divorce at the time, and I didn't care, one way or the other. But when I started dying, I didn't want to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that cured me was the oregano oil. The oregano oil, the juice, the Oregano Max, the crude earth. Yeah,
there's a lesson for everyone. Don't get married. Get oil of oregano.
I wanted to just mention, you mentioned the nitrates, and that I've got several ozone machines, but I use one at my kitchen sink. I put filtered water in the pans. I put meat, pork, and ozonate it for maybe 20 minutes. And any cold cuts, I like them. You know, I mean,
you're probably going to be better off if you do beef, though. You know,
because beef pork, too.
Beef is the safest. Beef, lamb, turkey. They're when you start getting into pork, you're getting into whipworm. You're getting into encysted things like trick, and I just don't think pork's a good idea. But another time and another subject, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Dave. We've got to wrap now, but appreciate the call.
Take care.
Bye.
You bet.
And appreciate your hanging in there a little bit longer, Dr. K.
Well, I did all right, I guess. But thank you for getting the word out on the nutrition and the herbal medicine.
Promising the audience that anyway, yeah. and it's a even though we have to talk about these negative things, it's good to offer solutions, and I really appreciate your information.
No problem.
Look forward to the next
time. You're right on these chemtrails, but people, you got to be the army. You got to do it. And send me anything you want. You know, you email me. If you do find anything definitive out there, let me know. I'll publicize it.
Yes, and I want to let the listening audience know that they can get your books by going to knowledgehousepublishers.com.
There you go. You take care.
And they can visit my website for little reviews on some of them, too, directlightproductions.com. Dr. K, it's been a pleasure. I wish you a very peaceful night.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to say goodnight to the listening audience now. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints and Dr. Qasim Khalil. Again, visit his website at knowledgehousepublishers.com if you're interested in reading his material. He's got a whole bunch of homemade remedies that he discusses, and he really goes into all the particulars about oil of oregano. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Also, we would like to thank our callers, Bob and David, for their questions and information. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when we have another show. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.